Hart, aber Fairway. Der Golf-Podcast mit Beauty und Benny.
Ja, einen schönen guten Tag am 16.09.2025 begrüße ich euch hier zu einer neuen Episode Hart, aber Fairway. Der Ryder Cup ist bald und nächste Woche werden wir uns ganz, ganz ausführlich dem widmen. Da gibt es wieder schöne, viele Storys. Aber erstmal möchte ich natürlich den lieben Beauty bei mir hier begrüßen. Hallo, mein Lieber.
Ich grüße dich.
So, heute ist übrigens der Sammelsteinetag. Ich weiß nicht, ob damit alte Golfbälle gemeint sind, aber könnte sein. Deswegen heute wieder ein schöner, kurioser Tag. Aber ich wollte auch gar nicht zu viel mit dir ins Quatschen kommen, denn wir haben heute eine kleine Spezialfolge. Beauty, du warst fleißig, mal im Gegensatz zu sonst. Du warst extrem fleißig und hast die Firma Lab Golf getroffen für uns in den Sommerferien. Das ist ja dieser neue heiße Trend. Die Idee dahinter, also Lab ist eine Abkürzung für Lie Angle Balanced, wie ich lernen durfte. Und der USP von der Firma ist, dass nicht, also die klassischen Putter haben ja immer so eine kleine Tendenz, entweder vorne oder hinten aufzuklappen. Da verspricht Lab Golf einen neutralen Schwung. Und ich glaube, zuerst hat es Adam Scott und Zalatoris oder Glover auf die Tour gebracht. Und ja, beim Putten und gerade beim Profisport wird natürlich jeder kleinste vermeintliche Vorteil besprochen, diskutiert. Und wenn man dort einen Vorteil entdeckt, wird natürlich probiert, dieser Vorteil sich anzueignen. Auch wir Amateurgolfer freuen sich natürlich bei einem instabilen Handgelenk über einen in Anführungsstrichen selbst korrigierenden Putter. Dazu ein extrem futuristisches Design und schon ist ein neuer Putter auf dem Markt. Habe ich das jetzt richtig zusammengefasst, so ganz grob?
Ja, ganz, ganz grob kommt es schon hin. Es ist irrtümlich, wird immer berichtet, dass die Schlagfläche bei den Lab-Puttern die ganze Zeit zum Ziel zeigt. Das ist natürlich nicht der Fall, sondern wie du richtig gesagt hast, die Schlagfläche ist immer neutral zum Lie-Angle, das heißt, wie der Schaft zur Schlagfläche steht. Und da gibt es ein ausgeklügeltes System über Gewichte unter dem Putter, das dafür sorgt, dass die Schlagfläche extrem stabil ist. Neumodern in den Werbungen wird dann immer mit Zero Torque, also keine Verwringung, wird da die Werbung mit angepriesen. Lab hat das quasi zur Perfektion getrieben. Und ihr werdet dann auch im Laufe des Gespräches erfahren, wie das denn jetzt wirklich bei Callaway und Titleist ist, ob das wirklich Zero Talk ist oder ob das halt wirklich nur so ein Marketing-Gag aus der Werbung ist. Denn Stand jetzt, so hat es mir zumindest Sam Hahn, der CEO von Lab Golf, umschrieben, ist Lab Golf aktuell wirklich die einzige Firma, die das durch dieses Lie-Angle ausgebalanced geschafft hat, dass es wirklich ein Zero Talk gibt. Natürlich wissen wir selber, dass die Schlagfläche jetzt nicht davon befreit ist, dass wir, wenn wir die Hände drehen, dass die Schlagfläche dann auch irgendwo anders hinzeigen kann. Aber grundlegend die Physik dahinter ist wirklich so, dass die Schlagfläche immer neutral zur Schaftebene steht, je nachdem, wie der Putter im Lie-Angle steht. Und das ist unfassbar spannend. Und ja, je mehr man sich darauf konzentriert, desto mehr...
Das ist aber ein bisschen nerdig, oder? Muss ich dir jetzt mal einhaken kurz.
Das ist sehr nerdig und du weißt ja, da kriegt man mich direkt mit, wenn es so sehr en Detail geht. Und vor allen Dingen, wenn man weiß, wie die Lab-Putter aussehen und jetzt bei den Touren so ein bisschen die Augen offen hat, sprießen die gerade da wirklich wie die Pilze aus dem Boden. Und immer mehr Lab-Putter sind da im Einsatz und auch das beschreibt Sam Hahn extrem, wie es in den letzten Jahren doch für einen Kampf war, zu überleben, ja, in diesem Haifischbecken, Clubmanshift so ein bisschen. Und ja, das ist ein super Gespräch gewesen, knappe 40 Minuten das Ganze und schon mal als Vorwarnung, als Triggerwarnung, Es wird eine rein englische Folge. Das heißt,
die kommen nicht aus Frankreich.
Nee, leider.
Aber das ist doch gut. Dann haben wir, beide ja auch eine Zero-Talk-Folge. Markus Lanz hat auch manchmal Zero-Talk. Also mit Talk ist natürlich der die Verwringung, der Talk gemeint, mit O-L-Q-U-E, glaube ich, geschrieben. Genau. Aber um jetzt mal nett überzuleiten, Zero-Talk von uns beiden, diese Folge. Ich lass dich jetzt mal machen mit Sam Hahn und der Lab-Golf-Folge. Dein kurzes Fazit für Amateure, lohnt sich das oder ist es eher was für einen Profisport? Ganz kurz.
Ja, ist natürlich je nachdem, wie das Budget ist. Ist jetzt kein billiges Vergnügen, sich so ein Putter zuzulegen. Ich glaube, wenn man Bock darauf hat, dann sollte man auch das ganze Programm mit rummachen. Ein Fitting und nicht einfach nur jetzt auch, da kann man Basic-Modelle bestellen. Aber sobald man halt auch ins Fitting geht, kostet dann so ein Putter auch mal schnell über 800 oder knapp an die 1000 Euro. Und das ist dann halt absolut kein Schnäppchen. Aber ist ein spannender Ansatz. Und ich glaube, wer halt Schläge sparen möchte, sollte vor allen Dingen beim Putten jetzt nicht sparen. Ja, ist meine persönliche Meinung. Und demnach sollte sich jeder Interessierte damit mal mit beschäftigen.
Okay, und trotzdem 3 Millionen Euro Schläger, kann man aber trotzdem noch oder hat die Chance noch ein Dreipad zu machen?
Absolut, ja, oder okay, vier oder
das
fünf
ist gut.
Auch das ist immer noch in der Tasche dann möglich.
Hervorragend, also auch das beste Ergebnis schadet nicht vor teurem und gutem Golfspiel. Hören wir doch mal rein, Beauty, vielen Dank, dass du dir die Zeit genommen hast und ich bin auf jeden Fall gespannt.
Abschlag.
I just want to welcome Sam in our show. Welcome to Oregon. Is it right?
Yep, we're in Creswell, Oregon. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. So nice to have you here in our show. And I think it will be an unbelievable hour. And let's talk about a little bit putting and how such a big victory, what the influence is. And the following things, what happened next after this amazing journey from JJ Spawn to US Open champ. So first of all, just who are you and how comes Lab Golf onto the maps of PGA Tour?
You know, as you mentioned, my name is Sam Hahn. It's actually a German name, as I'm sure you guys know. I've been the CEO of Lab Golf for about 7.5 years now. I came across the putter in 2017. A friend had found the putter actually in Australia, the original directed force putter, and brought it back and he wanted to show me. I brought one on the spot and a few months later, the head fell off the putter and I needed to send it back to have it repaired. And the guy who designed it, Bill Pressey, he reached out and we just became friends. And then a few months later, Directed Force was, you know, kind of about to close its doors. And so I partnered with Bill and we rebranded as Lab Golf. And that was in April of 2018. And now here we are. It's been quite a journey. It's, you know, I think a lot of people think that maybe because they're only just now becoming aware of Lab, think that that just happened overnight. And it's been a long journey getting us to where we are and getting us to where we could get the putter in the hands of talented players, one of whom did manage to win a US Open this year.
Yeah, fantastic journey. And when I did my background check correct, first of all, you came not directly out of the golf business and you start the golf business by buying a putter and grinding into it, right? Because when I read it right, you were actually active in the music and event business. And so did you quit that all after you decided to switch to then Lab Golf, or what happened with this?
Pardon me. Thank you for eating on your show. I running late this morning. I needed to get some breakfast in me, but I'm all done now. So, yes. So I still own a bar slash music venue here in Eugene. It's called Blair LA Arcade. It's an awesome place. Lots of vintage pinball machines and arcade games and such, and then two very big stages. And so we still do a lot of events. I'm not terribly involved in it anymore. I still love music, and I don't play very much anymore. I've got a guitar in my house and I noodle around every once in a while. My daughter's starting to get into music, so I'll mess around and play some music for her and for my girlfriend every once in a while. But it feels like a whole lifetime ago.
So you indirectly answered my next question. So that was your first impression and feel when you held these kind of lap putter in your hand after, or then it. The hat falls off, but did you recognize the first moment of your decision making of going into this business? Like, what was your thought?
No, I knew that it was something special. So there was about 3 months between when I first was introduced to the putter and when I met Bill. And Bob Duncan was the guy who introduced me to the putter, and Bob knew that I was, you know, really into equipment and specifically putters, which I was. I mean, I was really into putters for a long time before I met Bob and was introduced to the putter. But I traditionally used, you know, like old school putters, 8802s and you know, cool looking, you know, one-off Camerons and stuff like that, mostly traditional looking putters. And then when he showed me the first Reno putter, the directed force putter, you know, I thought it was ridiculous looking, just like everybody else did, but he insisted that I gave it 9 holes. I one putted the first 9 greens, the first 7 greens. I made about 150 feet worth of putts in 7 holes, and you know, my mind was completely blown. Yes. So, and he showed me the revealer demonstration and everything, and it all made a lot of sense. And the part of the story I usually leave out is that after I received my putter, you know, instead of borrowing Bob's, I actually really struggled. I was committed because it was really expensive and, you know, and it didn't feel good and it didn't look good. It performed well, you know, it swung smoothly like nothing I'd ever experienced, but, you know, it just, yeah. And I really struggled, and because I was so committed to it, because of the logic behind the revealer and the fact that I'd spent all this money, it was, you know, I was determined to figure out how to unlock the technology. And that took about 2 weeks. And those 2 weeks were so important because this was before I met Bill and before I had any ambitions to, you know, help the company out or do anything with it. Because I really learned the differences. You know, that was, you know, what really forced me to consider that all of a sudden I've got a putter that's staying square by itself. You know, I don't need to manipulate it anymore. And so many of my putting fundamentals had to kind of shift in order to utilize the technology. And that 2 weeks where I really learned that on my own versus being told or whatever, that's what helped shape my ability to talk about the technology, you know, that journey of hating it and, you know, ultimately loving it, was, you know, the foundation of, you know, kind of our shtick, you know, the next, over the course of the next 2 months after that, I went from a 1 handicap to a plus 3.5 just on putting.
Nice. Yes.
Well, and so it was remarkable, you know, a remarkable improvement. And then, you know, when I met Bill and you know, had the opportunity to partner with him, I think it was really actually a very good thing that I was naive, you know, that I didn't understand the business very well. Because if I had, I never would have done it. You know, if I knew how difficult it was going to be, I never would have done it, but I was, you know, I don't know if there's a German translation, but ignorance is bliss. Basically means that it's better sometimes to not know. And so, you know, I thought it would be pretty quick. I thought I would, you know, find a way out onto the PGA Tour and introduce the putter to a few people, and one of the big companies would come along and write us a check, and then I'd go on to something else. But yeah. You know, it became pretty clear early how long a road we had in front of us. And I'm very grateful that we all, you know, decided to stick with it.
Yes, and go all the way through all the pain, I guess, also, like, even how successful your story now is, I think there will be parts that will
mostly
be
pain.
Yes, mostly pain. And the thing is, all the self-knowledge you have to build up was before you met all the guys from the brand, right? So you have to check yourself, all the self-teach things, like putting is, oh, maybe it didn't work with it what I have now in my hands. So now we come what you slightly tell a little bit about it is your brand name, like it is a sense behind it. Yeah, it's like it makes sense when you said, okay, our brand, it's Lab Golf. Please explain the guys what Lab actually means.
Lab is, it's an acronym, and it stands for lie angle balance. And so lie angle balancing is a formula, a physics formula that our engineers use to create a putter that at least the head, the face, is quite literally trying to square itself up. And so the best way to put it is that every other putter that you've ever used, you need to keep it square. And with a Lab putter, you just need to let it stay square.
So just let the weight make the work, right?
Exactly.
So what was the, for you personally, the biggest challenge to go all the way through? Like you said, it was a lot of pain, but what was the biggest challenge? Like taking the next step into this golf business, like being this small fish in the tank with all the sharks and all the whales. Like what was your biggest challenge?
Interestingly, the competition and all the other whales in the business really wasn't an issue until, you know, about a year ago. They largely just ignored us, you know, which was great. We got to operate in a non-competitive environment. And I would say the biggest challenge was that we had to change people's minds, you know, and that's one of the hardest things to do in any walk of life, is to change somebody's mind. And particularly in golf, golfers are stubborn and they're traditionalists, and our technology, as well as the Revealer, which demonstrates the technology, sort of disproved a lot of what we've been told about how putters work for the last three decades. You know, the idea about toe hang creating toe flow and face balance being good for a square stroke, and, you know, all this stuff, like, all of a sudden wasn't true. People don't like hearing that what they've, you know, known to be true for, you know, a few decades isn't true. And so that was that was the biggest challenge, was to figure out how to communicate without being defensive, without being offensive, without being too bullish about all of it, you know, needing to remain humble, needing to have compassion for those who were struggling to believe that what we were saying was true. I would say that was the biggest challenge.
And what do you think about it when you go all through these other companies and they're starting now all these putting lines with try to get also this zero talk technique inside? Is it an inner smile for you, or do you think okay, now they try to come that way also?
It's both. I mean, when the copies first started coming out, it was pretty scary. You know, we were great for our business. And at the time, we'd really only just become relevant. You know, there was a lot of people out there that had no idea who Lab was. And so we were nervous that the bigger companies with the bigger marketing budgets were going to be able to just, you know, blow us away. It turned out it actually helped our business, because now these huge companies validated our technology. You know, all this, by coming out with the putters, they were basically saying Lab's been right all along. And so, it's a mix of both. I mean, sometimes it's frustrating. I don't like a lot of these companies, I would say, are not acting ethically, whether that's, you know, being not particularly ethical around the intellectual property, mostly the marketing claims. That's what's been really upsetting, is a lot of companies that are claiming that their putters do things that they don't. And that's pretty disappointing. Because I'm still a consumer at heart, you know. Like I'm a golfer. I play all the time, and I still buy new equipment. I love, you know, watching reviews on new products and everything. And you know, and I, like most consumers, take these companies at their word, you know. And and now that I'm kind of behind the curtain and see how this stuff goes, they don't, you know, a lot of them really don't have a morality around the information that they're giving to their customers. So that's been kind of frustrating. But, you know, the sort of one of the bedrock principles of capitalism is that competition drives innovation. And I would say that that's definitely starting to happen. You know, like we see, you know, some of the competitive products coming out, and for the most part, I think that our products are superior in almost every regard. There are certain things that might not be better or worse, just different. And it's nice to see the differences. It inspires us to think a little bit more outside the box and to challenge ourselves to create designs that, you know, ultimately hopefully will appeal to more people than our competitors.
Yeah, that's great. And like what you say, that the competition starts and brings the innovation forward. And did one of the biggest deal you get around the US Open, it was a big thing in the press from one day to another, that you get some parts away from your brand, right? Or how did we have to understand that you have this around $200 million deal?
And it's so exciting. I mean, it's just,
yes,
it's incredible. I mean, for 2 years we've been the English analogy is drinking through a fire hose, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's just been so much, you know, coming at us and trying to navigate our way and grow the company so quickly as the demand has increased. It's been almost impossible. And so we knew we needed some help, and these guys are great. You know, they're not operating the company at all. We still operate the company. They're just kind of putting our vision and giving us the resources to speed things along and get production, you know, going faster, investing more into our research and development and, making it possible for us to grow.
Yeah. And that would be my next question. What does it mean for the future for Lab Golf? Like, you just said it, you run the company still, like they are a kind of sidebar, like helping now the company more and more.
Exactly. We have a 30, 45 minute meeting with them twice a month, and just let them know what's going on. They're helping us with recruiting. So we've been a very, very small team at the executive level. So they're helping us find, you know, a chief marketing officer and a new CFO and a revenue officer and any number of positions that we absolutely needed to get filled. They have incredible recruiting capabilities. they help with funding and when we, you know, projects that, you know, might be a little bit too expensive right out of the gate, they can, you know, bridge that gap for us. And it's nice too, just to have insight. I mean, the company that bought us is very impressive, and they've been running consumer brands, premium consumer brand. And so even though it may not be in the golf space, they have some expertise and strong knowledge of you know, what works for premium brands, and very helpful.
Yeah, what a story. Like, I thought like 3 months ago, I get in touch with TPT Golf, with Tino Schuster, and in some nice calls, he told me about that TPT works specially with you guys. Yeah, so I start to find out, okay, Lepko, what is it? Because at this point, like 3-4 months ago, was like, yeah, I think putting nerds only know what Lab Golf is. Yeah, right. Because no advertising, not that big branding, like when you open YouTube and you watch now a lot of guys playing your stuff and great and big YouTube names, and suddenly in May you're watching PGA Tour and there, hey, look, there is a lap putter, and look, there is a lap putter, and wow, there's a lap putter. Yeah, and you start to recognize them even on TV, and then follow the Adam Scott story. Like, can you tell us something about that? How one of the greatest players in the last 25 years worked with you guys together? How does this start? And how does this start like a brand with TPD Golf? Because Tino just told us they're starting to send the shafts all around, and so they come in contact with you. Like, that I think is an interesting fact.
Yeah, I'll start with TPT. So the way our process and the way that we balance our putters requires the components to have a very, very, very tight tolerance. And we started working with TPT because they are, period, the best shafts in the world. They're so we have to go through a process on our when we get in a box of shafts, where we roll them and do some testing on them to make sure that they're perfectly straight and perfectly round. Most shafts are not. Most shafts are a little bit crooked and a little bit oval. And TPT is the only shafts that we don't have to QC. They get in, we put them right on the shelf, and they're good to go. And it's been just a wonderful relationship. It's such a good shaft. It feels so good. It sounds so good. It performs so well. And they're easy to work with, you know, in their process in creating.
I can agree. I have the TPD shaft also in my putter you sent me. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's such a premium feel, and
yeah.
No, it's really, really wonderful. So yeah, that's been a great relationship, and we look forward to growing that relationship. As far as Adam, it was actually pretty interesting the way we met. So I'd owned the company only for a few months, and one day I open up Instagram and I see a post from Kelly Slater, the surfer, the world's greatest surfer, the Tiger Woods of surfer, yeah. And he had the directed force putter. And so, and he just bought it in a store one day. So I reached out to Kelly and he and I got friendly, and we've sent putters back and forth, and he's a great guy. And then in, February of 2019, he ended up getting paired with Adam at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And so for 4 days, Kelly outputted Adam. He putted way better. And so the next week, Kelly gave, you know, Adam my phone number, and I get a call from Adam at Riviera, and, you know, asked me to come meet him in the locker room. And we talked and did some measurements and built some putters for him. And then he didn't put it in play until the following week at the Honda. And this wasn't a long putter. It was not a sweeper. It was a regular conventional length putter in 2019 that he was using. It was a red directed force. And he used it for about 4 months. He even led the Masters with it for through two rounds in 2019, the year the Tiger won. He's just been you know, it's LabGuard, we've gotten so many lucky breaks, like so yes. many lucky breaks. I mean, incredible things that you can't plan for. And Adam was probably the best lucky break we ever got for a lot of reasons. Number one, he's so smart and he's so easy to work with. Number two, you know, even though other people out in the world have their opinions about Adam's putting, statistically speaking, he's actually one of the best in the world and has been, you know, for a long time. And so he was very well respected on tour, even if, you know, people had misconceptions about, you know, how he would putt. The tour guys, they know who's good and who's not. They also know that he's very smart and very deliberate about his equipment. So he could not, he was the perfect person to sort of bring the technology to the PGA Tour and validate it and show people that the technology is very real. And he's just been a dream to work with. And then one day we were playing golf together in Los Angeles, and he mentioned that he might like to design a putter one day. And that was when we got working literally at Los Angeles Country Club. We were drawing putters on a napkin.
Yeah. Nice.
And that's ultimately what became the Oz.
Mm-hmm. So, like, dream comes true. Like, 8 years ago, I think you wouldn't give so much percentage of all these coincidences. Like,
never.
That's like playing bingo in a hotel, yeah, and have the chance of winning big. And what you said, like, When the tour guys know what knowledge he has, and of course all the class, because without this class you are not 25 years at the top, and putting it in game, like on the Masters, like it's the biggest stage, that I think makes some noise. And what you can maybe agree that they start to talk even on the putting greens, they change equipments on the putting greens. So what does it makes with you when you see your equipment in television and on the big stage growing, yeah, from tournament to tournament? What does it makes with you?
I'm starting to enjoy it.
Mm.
But for most of the last, you know, 5 years, it's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, and just sitting by the TV and, you know, for a long time, people kind of were hoping we'd fail, you know, and, mm-hmm. You know, people wanted to believe it was snake oil and whatever else. And so, you know, people didn't really care about our successes, and every time there was a failure, everybody would write about it, you know, and it wasn't great. But I still get very, very nervous. I think that since JJ's, you know, US Open win, you know, the ultimate validation with a 64-foot putt on the last hole, it's a little easier to watch, and sometimes guys miss putts and it's easier to be like, yes, okay, it happens. But for the most of the last 5 years, I mean, I live and die by every single putt that they hit on tour, and it's I don't watch golf with people anymore. It's not very
pleasant. Yeah.
So it's been great. This last month and a half has been a lot more fun to watch golf.
Yes, and when you talk about it, like, I start to get goosebumps thinking about this 64 putt and this putter throw. Like, I guess there were more pictures of this celebration and the throw and the detail on the putter. Like, that's like a free advertisement what they did. Yeah, that's that is the biggest dream what you can get. And I think when you see all the next big things come ahead, like the Ryder Cup, yeah, is also it can't get even bigger than the putting on the Ryder Cup with the lap putter. Yeah, so
it's the only tournament we've never had one in play, and it's,
yeah,
it's incredibly exciting that mm-hmm. that we're in play, and I'm so excited for JJ.
It's I think that too, yeah, that will be great. Are there Europeans playing the lap putter, or
not the Ryder Cup? No, not anyone that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one big thing.
There is quite a few on the DP
DPT world, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our tour rep out there, Tom Murray, has done an incredible job. I think one week we even had, I think we had 18 putters in play on events out there, and you know, he's been doing great.
Yeah, it's like we talked about like 4 weeks ago or something like that, and when you start watching and watch on detail, not looking at the game, just look at the equipment, what they show on the television, you actually see more and more every week. Yeah, like this is incredible. So the numbers are rising, and it's not like, oh, there are two. No, there were actually what this one tournament I saw, it was Ricky Fowler, boom, he had it in play, and Lucas Glover, boom, he had it in play. And it's not like these guys, they're fighting for their cards. It's like some big names, yeah, and that makes it even better for your company. And of course, these are the players that are on television. Yeah, there are many more playing; they are not even on the television. So that's fantastic. And I would ask for the next step for the future. What do you think? Like, you talked about it. It's lie angle balance. It's a lot of research. It's a kind of developing story. What do you think is your brand a high tech exclusive putter brand, or do you think is it still accessible for everybody's or everyday golfer?
Oh, it definitely helps the everyday golfer. Mm-hmm. In many cases, even more than the skilled player. It helps everybody. As far as it being accessible, you know, the only thing that we really fight is they're quite expensive. And we're working on it, but it's, you know, like I mentioned before, you have to balance it by hand. There's no way to automate the process. And so that piece alone just makes it very expensive to build them. But yeah, I mean, the technology is the corner, you know, the cornerstone of our company. And we will remain, you know, in that space. We're not, we'd love to make them cheaper. It's not a driving force. The driving force is to keep making them better. Yeah, we're doing it.
So, and what is your hope for the future? Where do you see Lab Golf in 5 to 10 years? What do you hope?
I think that we'll be the biggest putter company in the world. I know that we will. I mean, they're just, the technology is just too good. And, you know, with the other companies, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't necessarily recognize or notice is like putters are all we do. And the other leading putter companies, Ping, Odyssey, Titleist, TaylorMade, they make golf balls and drivers and irons and wedges and hybrids and golf bags and clothes and all these things that, you know, make it so that they can't just give so much attention to, to putting. Mm-hmm. Putting is all we think about. And so, you know, I think that we will have expanded offerings. I think we're going to continue to innovate the technology. I think we're going to continue to innovate in the putting, in the fitting space, and make sure that the putter that you're getting is the one that works best for you, and any number of fun plans that we have that unfortunately I can't talk about here, but
yes, right.
I'm working on some good stuff.
About one thing you can talk about it, you have a brand new model out, because actually our listeners maybe didn't know it, like Lab Golf was special for center shafted putters, but now you have a new model in town, so yeah, you can talk about that.
The Oz 1 HS is similar head shape to the Oz that's been out for about a year now, but we managed to put a more traditional neck on the putter over on the heel, and still achieve our lie angle balance technology. That's one thing I want to make sure that your listeners know. That putter Fantastic. Is lie angle balanced. It performs the same way as our center shafted stuff. It swings the same way. And it's a really exciting product. We want to make the technology accessible for everybody. And one of the barriers to entry for some was that they just couldn't look at the center shafted putter. It was just too difficult. This one, is I think going to look right to a lot of people.
Do you think it will ice more the traditional putter?
Say that again?
Do you think it's better for the traditional putter? Like,
I mean, it's easier to look at for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, for tradition, you know, for the original lab putters, I mean, they're weird. The face is way in front of the shaft. The shaft is leaning forward. You got a crooked grip on it. And, you know, it's a lot to take in for some people. I think this is going to be great. I think that a lot of people who maybe were interested in the technology and it made sense to them, but just couldn't look at them. They were just a little bit too weird. This one's just, you know, a little less weird looking.
Great. That's fantastic. And when I look at the time, we have 15 minutes left, so we have a little bit more time to talk about it. And on the last part, I want to come a little bit more to this modern art of golf representation, like YouTube golf. I just started in the beginning part. Do you think all these Grant Hoberts and Wesley Bryans, like playing your stuff, that they attract the younger next generation of golfers more than maybe doing some advertising in television or cinema or something else?
I mean, for sure, you know, and the reason that we kind of went down the YouTube route was because that's all we could afford to do, you know, as we were a company, like we don't have these multi-million dollar marketing budgets. And it wasn't really that like deliberate, like we didn't like say like, okay, let's, you know, get YouTube golf. It was more just that I spend a lot of time on social media. And so I'd be on Instagram and sorting through like, oh, here's this Grant Horvath guy. And I'd shoot him a direct message and say, hey, can I send you? You know, and that happens to those guys every day. Every single day, there's 10 different companies that just reach out. Yes. We'd love to send you some gear. And a lot of people think that, you know, that we pay all of these people to, you know, to use our stuff. Very recently, we have some contracts with them. But for the most part, for the last 4 years, it's all been because they like the putter. You know, sent everything. You know, they can play anything they want. And they were choosing our stuff. And I think that went a long way in validating the technology. I think the fact that we weren't paying for it, I think helped people realize like, oh, these guys can play anything they want. And they'll probably get paid to play something else and they're still choosing lab. And so I think it was very validating. And it was just a little easier, you know, than, you know, certainly than like the tour guys, you know, these guys are having fun. They're out there playing golf for fun and people enjoy it and enjoy watching it. And you know, as the numbers are starting to surface, it isn't just youth anymore. You know, it isn't just the younger generation. I mean, everybody watches YouTube golf. I think this year you can make a strong argument that YouTube golf was bigger than the professional game. And
of course, yes.
And so, again, it was kind of another lucky break for Lab where we just did it because that was the only avenue open to us. And then in the same, you know, starting kind of 2019, 2020, that's when YouTube golf just exploded, you know, and we were in the right place at the right time and, were able to lean into it.
Yeah. And I can say, I think you are one of the fewest CEOs, directly messaging on Instagram. It was like, we met first, like, I was texting you, hey, I'm Stefan from Hard Aber Fairway. And then you were answering. And I think after 30 minutes, I just asked, who are you? And you're just like, yeah, I'm Sam. And then I Googled and I said, oh, it's the CEO. Interesting. Nice. Nice to talk to you. And of course, what you said, like the next step for YouTube is that the access is for free. Yeah. Like, when you, even in Europe, when you want to watch PGA Tour or DP World Tour, you get to Sky, and you have to pay for it. And I think in the States, it's like you need three or four different kind of sports channels to watch golf. It's easier to open the YouTube app and watch this kind of golf, where the product is, in my opinion, better and modern. Yeah, like all these old golf, times and commentaries. My girlfriend always said it's good to sleep. Yeah, and
what I do for the most part.
Yes, and so I also switched to YouTube and watch all these stuff you can get on. And so, yeah, fantastic. And when for a company like Lab, this works out, this fantastic. It's, I think, for both a good thing. Yeah, for you and also for all these guys. And fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah, great time to have you here in our podcast.
And I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, and last but not least, I got this message a lot from our listeners. Charlie Woods. Yeah. So, is putting with a Lab golf putter?
Yeah.
So, do you know how many times Tiger had this putter in his hand?
No idea. I won't ask either.
Yeah.
I'm trying to certainly very much respect Charlie's privacy, and I know he's such a brave kid, you know, going into golf.
Yes,
with his father.
That's yeah.
It's so hard to play golf with that many people watching you, you know. And now he's a great young man. He is super respectful, very humble. And yeah, he's been really fun to work with.
Because then the main topic also in German golf news was like, what putter is he playing? And then there was the biggest story. Yeah, it wasn't like, hey, he's playing some solid golf. Yeah, of course he did. But then it was like, oh, now he's playing also this kind of putter. And big story, and fantastic for you guys. Enjoyed it, and yeah, looking forward what the futures bring. And I think this last 40 minutes was fantastic. Yeah, and know you better, know your brand better, and looking forward what comes next for you. And yeah, on the next big stage, the Ryder Cup.
Thank you very much, and yeah, very exciting stuff. And thank you very much for having me on, and hopefully we'll be able to get a ever-growing presence in Germany. I know we're struggling to make enough putters to get them all over Europe, but we'll get there.
Yeah, yeah, hope so too. And hopefully in 2 or 3 years you come back in our show, and we can talk what happened in this time frame. Yeah, how many majors next at JJ Spawn's major? Did you get a little present from JJ after this US Open victory?
Present from JJ? No.
Yes.
I want to give him a present.
Yes. But maybe thank you for this great putter.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we texted and chatted. Yeah. He's becoming a friend and really, really good guy. And yeah, he's been a relationship of mutual gratitude.
Nice. So yeah. I think it's the best end we can have for a show. And thank you, Sam, to be here. And hopefully more success in the upcoming weeks, upcoming years. Yeah, it was fun to talk to you.
Really enjoyed it myself. Thanks so much for having me.
Das war Hart, aber Fairway. Wir hören uns nächste Woche. Bis dahin, ein gutes Spiel. Und immer schön auf dem Fairway bleiben.